Could we turn in the hymnal to number 297? Let's start again today with one of those most basic and earliest of a Christian affirmation of faith. And that was that when someone would say, "The Lord is risen," you say, "He's risen indeed." Saying that there's just a great, it was an affirmation of faith. It was saying, our faith is in this. Let's affirm it. Let's do it. The Lord is risen. The Lord is risen. 297. Can't sing that high. Number 346.
346.
Just so you know, that's why sometimes we have a little problem with the synchro mesh here in the keys, because we change the keys to where, number one, I can play them on guitar, but also two, where they're low enough for me to sing. And so sometimes that means she's got to change from what's written there to adjust to this and so on, and that's just some of our hassles, huh?
Well, people don't sing as high as they used to, including me.
The older I get, the less I do. Do you want to? Is this too high?
I don't think so.
The regular key,
I
whatever. Go ahead. Run.
I serve a risen Savior.
He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. In all see His loving care, and all I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blasts. The day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. Rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
Wonderful. Do you think we should still do the song then?
Yeah, let's do it.
You want to ask the people to come up here and help sing or spread these sheets around? We're going to sing this song that's not in the hymnal, but it's certainly an old standby for resurrection morning. Lift your glad voices in triumph on high, for Jesus hath risen and man shall not die. Choir. Choir members, would you come up to say, yes?
Bruce, there is some bombings going on, we saw this morning.
I'm sorry? We do.
Yeah, we do.
We certainly do. Shall we pray now, Pastor Paul?
Lord, we just come to you right now in this time of sadness, and we ask, Lord, that you would be with the Christians in Sri Lanka. Lord, help us. Sacrifice. We just, Lord, ask that you would redeem this situation. Help us, say,
The Lord predicted these things would happen and have been happening since before he came to earth and since he left. And he promises, though, also to be with us through these things. I would like to say, and I hope I'm not out of line to say it, that I believe myself, and I hope you can too, if it's the proper thing to believe, that the Lord knows every one of his own, and there's not a one can be taken from this earth aside from his. Is that fair enough, Pastor Paul? Anyone else? So his guiding hand is still there to accomplish his perfect will. No, there in plenty of other situations.
Resurrection Day.
Anyone wants to come help us sing this song, lift your glad voices, please come.
Oh, that's terrible. See, they target when there's most Christians in the church. Oh, I have to play this. No, not with this one.
I can't hardly get them apart fast enough. Sorry.
Everyone.
I have some more here if you need them. Jaron, you come up. Anyone else? Need one? There's more here. Bring it on you. That's what you call impromptu. Thank you. Yes. Pastor Paul. Pastor Paul left his Bible and notes up here. Does someone else want to preach? He's trying to get someone else to do that for him. I forgot Larry. You were asking Larry because he's dressed like a Philadelphia lawyer.
He is sharp.
Yep, you're welcome.
Okay, I've got some points for like the kids' sermon, but I'm just going to have you sit there, kids, because I figure you're tired, and if you come up here on the floor, you might just fall asleep right there. So, but also just to try to move you along, some of these young children have been at the early morning service, singing their hearts out, and then singing, practicing upstairs. I heard them, so they've been given all to Jesus. So I'm just going to give you a break here, kids, and you don't have to get that close to me this morning. How's that? Okay. But I'm going to read the verses that I would have shared with you. I've got three passages that I'm going to read, and that'll be most of what I want to share. It's just these passages. John chapter 18, verses 19 through 23. So it says this. Verse 19 to 23. Inside, the high priest began asking Jesus about his followers and what he had been teaching them. Jesus replied, "What I teach is widely known because I have preached regularly in the synagogues and the temple. I have been heard by people everywhere, and I teach nothing in private that I have not said in public. Why are you asking me this question? Ask those who heard me. They know what I said." One of the temple guards standing there struck Jesus on the face. "Is that the way to answer the high priest?" he demanded. Jesus replied, "If I said anything wrong, you must give evidence for it. Should you hit a man for telling the truth?" And my question is, how could that guard strike Jesus? How dare he strike Jesus? And kids, if you're listening, imagine Jesus, the creator of the world, who came to this world, lived 33 years of sinless perfection, and now he's just about ready to die a painful death on the cross. And here's this guard, probably doesn't understand much. Okay, I don't want to call him a dum-dum, but he's really doing something that is drastic here. He's striking Jesus without a good reason. And Jesus says, "Hey, how can you do this? You know, that's not right." He calls attention to it. Well, I want to answer that question with another, how could he do that? Matthew chapter 6, verses 22 and 23 says this. "Your eye is a lamp for your body. A pure eye lets sunshine into your soul, but an evil eye shuts out the light and plunges you into darkness. If the light you think you have is really darkness, how deep that darkness will be." That's verses 22 and 23 of Matthew chapter 6. And sometimes we don't understand what's going on in the world, like in Sri Lanka, when people start doing evil things. And a couple stories come to mind. I've talked about Black Beauty before, but there's a story of this beautiful black horse. And one of the owners one night, and a dark, stormy night, gets mad at Black Beauty because she comes to a creek, and maybe it's a guy, the horse. Is it a boy, the horse, Black Beauty? Okay. Somebody's, I guess, you know, I should, can't find it in Scripture. It's not there, but maybe I shouldn't be talking about Black Beauty. But Black Beauty, this horse, this brave horse and smart horse, will not take another step, and the owner starts whipping this horse, saying, "Would you go across that bridge?" Well, Black Beauty knew something the owner didn't. The bridge wasn't there. Okay, he couldn't see that this bridge was out and had been partially washed away. And so if Black Beauty had gone ahead, they, you know, would have perished in the stream. And so finally, the owner gets off the horse and sees this. Well, there's a similar story where Balaam in Numbers 22 is riding his donkey. And he starts beating that donkey because the donkey just stops. And it's broad daylight. And this owner can see there's nothing there. Why won't you go? But Balaam was going to do something that God did not want him to do. And he should have known better. And that was to put a curse on Israel. And God sent an angel. And Balaam couldn't see the angel, but he had his sword out. And he was just about ready to kill Balaam. And that donkey saved Balaam's life. It's kind of humorous. You should read Numbers 22 if you got your Bibles. Read Numbers 22, kids, because the donkey talks to Balaam. And he says, "Have I ever done this before?" you know, hearing the donkey talk would be quite a thing. But what I'm trying to get you to understand is, why would that soldier hit Jesus? Because he didn't have his spiritual eyes open. He was seen from a soul full of darkness. And I'm just going to just make this point today, that as I did last week on Palm Sunday, in Mark chapter 10 and 11, there was a great dread and fear on the disciples' part as they came to Jerusalem. Jesus kept saying, I'm going to die on a cross. I'm going to be tortured. And there were, I want to say, thousands and thousands of demons and evil forces just hovering. And I think the disciples could just feel the spiritual darkness that was hovering there. And boy, this was evil's hour. And you heard Pastor Bruce a couple weeks ago share about a Nazi doctor that just did horrific things. And how could he do that? And the answer is, when you're controlled by darkness, these spiritual forces pretty much control you, and you don't know that you're seeing darkness. That's the darkness in you. You think it's light, and you think you're operating according to some principle that is divine or guiding you. Well, it's not divine. It's demonic. And that's what's happening in the world today. I think there's a great darkness over New York right now with the passage of the abortion bill. It just made me just realize how dark and desperate our nation is right now. I'm talking about that most recent abortion bill. But again, since 1973, over 55 million little innocent babies have been taken from us, okay? And taken, killed. Let's say it like it is. And again, how can our world do this? How can you strike a baby? How can you strike Jesus? It's because of the darkness that is controlling them. I want to go now to John 19. Just one flip of a page over. If you were in John 18, I'm back in Matthew now. But John 19, listen to these verses. Pilate's going to have to deal with Jesus, and he's some soldiers take orders from Pilate. He is the governor of Jerusalem, working for the emperor of Rome. Then Pilate had Jesus flogged with a lead-tipped whip. The soldiers made a crown of long, sharp thorns, put it on his head. They put a royal purple robe on him. "Hail, King of the Jews!" they mocked, and they hit him with their fists. And actually, I wanted to start before that. I'm sorry. Just with Jesus having this sort of words with Pilate. And Pilate asks him, he says, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus replied, verse 34 of chapter 18, "Is this your own question, or did others tell you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate asked. "Your own people and their leading priests brought you here. Why? What have you done?" Then Jesus answered, "I am not an earthly king. If I were, my followers would have fought when I was arrested by the Jewish leaders. But my kingdom is not of this world." Pilate replied, "You are a king then. You say that I am a king, and you are right." Jesus said, "I was born for that purpose, and I came to bring truth to the world. All who love the truth recognize that what I say is true." Now, Pilate is got a chance here. You know, Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life is standing right in front of him. And he says, "What is truth?" Pilate asked. Then he went out again to the people and told them, "He is not guilty of any crime, but you have a custom of asking me to release someone from prison each year at Passover. So if you want me to, I'll release the King of the Jews." But they shouted back, "No, not this man, but Barabbas." Barabbas was a criminal. So then I'm ready to read this. Pilate had Jesus flogged. Soldiers mocked him. I read those verses. Verse 4, Pilate went outside again and said to the people, "I'm going to bring him out to you now, but understand clearly that I find him not guilty." Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said, "Here is the man." When they saw him, the leading priests and temple guards began shouting, "Crucify! Crucify! You crucify him," Pilate said. "I find him not guilty." The Jewish leaders replied, "By our laws, he ought to die because he called himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this, he was more frightened than ever. He took Jesus back into the headquarters again and asked him, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave no answer. "You won't talk to me?" Pilate demanded. "Don't you realize that I have the power to release you or to crucify you?" Then Jesus said, "You would have no power over me at all unless it were given to you from above. So the one who brought me to you has the greater sin." Just again, maybe I read too much of this passage to make this particular point, but the soldiers worked for Pilate, and the soldiers had to crucify him once they get the order, and they're going to. We know the story. We know Jesus is going to rise again from the dead. But how could the soldiers... Yes, they had to flog him. Yes, they had to crucify him. Okay, just doing what I said. Sorry, bud. Okay, but there's no repentance. There is a demonic glee in the way they mock out Jesus. Okay, "Hail, King of the Jews." They mocked. They hit him with their fists, making this crown of thorns. This is done by Roman soldiers, not the Jewish priests and leaders that were so jealous of Jesus. So how can this happen? And I'm just going to make this point. They got caught up in a culture of darkness. And folks, we're living in a culture of darkness too. And if you're just going to take your moral heartbeat from the world around you, you're going to get caught up in this darkness too. And before you know it, you're going to hear yourself denying Christ. You're going to hear yourself putting Christ down or mocking him out or mocking his people or servants out. And folks, this is something we need to be very cautious of. These Roman soldiers, you would think, spiritually neutral, okay? They have their own polytheistic culture, but they're jumping right in with this crucifixion, and they're hitting Jesus and pounding on him. So whether it's euthanasia, we're starting to see... assisted suicide laws as in our state. That is something that's on the watch list of our Christian organizations that watch for offensive, anti-biblical laws that could be passed. Pro-drug culture in New York right now. So all of these stances stem from a dark spiritual cloud. And I just want to encourage us to be lights to the world and say, look, we can counter bombings in Sri Lanka and torture in Iran and a culture of death and darkness in New York. Only one way we can do that. That's by just drinking in God's word every day, memorizing it, so we can go out in the world and share the light of the gospel. And I just want to read this last passage, John 20, through 24 through 31, about 8 verses. And this is Thomas, the story of doubting Thomas. One of the disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he replied, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers into them, and place my hand into the wound in his side." 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. He said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe." "My Lord and my God," Thomas exclaimed. It doesn't say he did that, but he saw Jesus and he believed instantly. Then Jesus told him, "You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who haven't seen me and believe anyway." And there is a beautiful passage in John 14 that I want to also share here in just a second. But I heard a guy from Ravi Zacharias, RZIM Ministries, anyways, on Christian radio, and he was talking about Pilate and Thomas. And he said, Pilate was a cynic, Thomas was a skeptic. And he said, there's a difference, okay? They both are seeking truth, kind of. A skeptic will believe when given evidence, but a cynic, even with the evidence, just won't believe. And I'm thrilled the Spence and Thomas families got to go see the museum, what's the music, Creation Museum, and the Ark. And there's so much evidence, folks. Why is there so much evidence for the truth of the gospel? Because it's true, okay? So there should be a lot of evidence. It should resonate with your soul when we praise God, because that's how you were made. So it thrills me that our young people in these families could be there and see that and have your faith reinforced. But again, there's evidence, and if you have a heart that's inclined to believe, you'll believe. But a cynic, even if they go to the Bill Nye the Science Guy, debating with, I think, Henry Morris, right? Ken Ham. Yeah, at the actual Ark. Just Bill, right now you can call him pre-saved, but he's pretty hard-hearted right now. And I would say he's a cynic. Doesn't matter what the evidence is. Don't confuse me with the facts. That's the attitude that a lot of the world has. And I have to say it's because of darkness. Okay? The light that is in Bill Nye the Science Guy or any other cynic like Pilate, they refuse to believe. The truth can stare you right in the face, like Jesus was looking at Pilate, face to face with the King of Glory. The way, the truth, and the life. What is truth? Oh, Pilate, if you only knew. Bill Nye, if you only knew how much of a believer you will be 10 seconds after you die, he'll know. And he'll have a world of regret at that point. So the question I have for you today, are you a cynic like Pilate? Don't bother me with the facts. Or are you a skeptic like Thomas? Or are you just a believer? Hebrews 11 says, without faith, it is impossible to believe him. And Jesus right here says, blessed are those who haven't seen me and believe anyway. And but I just want to quote Romans 8:16, or paraphrase of this, says, the Spirit testifies that we are his children. The Holy Spirit lives in you when you place your faith and trust in him. That's why I want to go to John 14 right now and try to read these verses. Jesus said in John 14, he's promising the Holy Spirit. He says, if you love me, obey my commandments, verse 15, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world at large cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him, but you do, because he lives with you now, that's Jesus, and later will be in you, that's the Holy Spirit. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. In just a little while, the world will not see me again, but you will, for I will live again, and you will too. When I am raised to life again, that's what we're celebrating. This is an Easter passage. Okay, we don't often turn to this on Easter, but it says, when I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Those who obey my commandments are the ones who love me, and because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them, and I will reveal myself to each one of them. Jesus will reveal himself to you. Okay, how does he do that? Just study God's word. Psalm 119, verse 18 says, open my eyes so I can behold wondrous things out of your law. Okay, Judas, not Judas Iscariot, but the other disciple with that name, said to him, Lord, why are you going to reveal yourself only to us and not to the world at large? Jesus replied, all those who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and live with them. Okay, we celebrate Emmanuel, God with us, at Christmas a lot. But Jesus, right up here, I just love this. I underlined it in verse 18. I will come to you. Okay, I will not abandon you as orphans. Folks, if you are believing in Jesus today, just go to him with the faith that you have. And like that dad at the bottom of the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus came down, there was that dad that said, hey, will you help my boy if you can? And Jesus goes, if? All things are possible to those who believe. And he says, I believe. And Jesus, staring him right in the eyes, knows he doesn't quite believe. The same way that he stares us right in the eyes sometimes when we're on our knees saying, Lord, I believe you can do this. And Jesus is like, come on, you don't really believe that, do you? And so what does the dad say? I believe, help thou my unbelief. Tell God, say, God, I'm struggling here. I want to believe. I know you can do this, but help me. Help me have that faith. And it just reminds me of the George Mueller story. He's on a ship, and there's a horrible fog, and he's got a speaking engagement. He's got to get to wherever he was going. I think it was the London crossing to France or something. It was just impossible to go. And my dad was in World War II and talks about his convoy, a whole convoy of American ships dropping anchor. And the German submarines, if they had come around and found that convoy, my dad's ship especially, they had ammunition. Boy, just would have been 4th of July for the Germans in the end for that whole convoy. But God spared them. Nobody was found. But again, this ship literally just dropped anchor. The fog was so bad. And George Mueller said to the captain, Captain, I've got to get there. You've got to get me there. And I think it's Adrian Rogers tells this story. And he's like, sir, he says, George Mueller says, do you believe in God? He says, yeah, of course I do. He says, well, let's go up on the bridge and pray. And the captain starts out, God, please help the fog to raise. And George Mueller goes, oh, stop. You don't even believe it. God, make this fog go away. And boom, the fog just lifted, and they were able to just go. Again, there's a lot of stories about George Mueller and the faith that he had. But folks, it's not about George Mueller. It's not about any great Christian. It's about Jesus. Place your faith and trust in him. He says, I will come to you. Okay, I'm not going to leave you like orphans. Okay, it says, when I am raised to life again, it says, I will love them. I will reveal myself to each one of them. So my question to you today is, are you a believer? Or are you a skeptic that says, well, I need to do a little more investigating like Thomas before I believe? Or are you a cynic like the biology professor at Harvard that said, well, there's only two possibilities for the creation of, or of how we got here. One is spontaneous combustion and one is creation. And he said, and our own science proved 50 years ago that spontaneous combustion just couldn't be the answer. And you think he's gonna embrace God, and I've shared this many times before, but he says, but I choose to believe the impossible rather than believe in God. So, folks, there's plenty of evidence if the eyes of your heart are open. And the question is, what is the condition of your heart today? And are you going to let the Holy Spirit come in and live in you? That's the proper response. Pastor Bruce's favorite verse I have noted right here, 2 Corinthians 5:21. Says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we could become the righteousness of God. That's why Jesus died and rose again and is coming again, to restore the whole world to the glory that first had before man sinned. And there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. There's going to be judgment. Read Matthew 25, if you don't believe me, or Romans 14. We're going to stand before God. And do you want to stand before God as that soldier, that temple guard that hit Jesus in the face? Do you want to be the soldiers that push that crown of thorns on his head. There's another story in verse 28 of chapter 19. The soldiers were gambling for Jesus' robe. And I started thinking about that. I wondered if, I know it's a long shot, but I wondered if the robe might have been made by Tabitha. She made robes and outer garments for widows in Joppa. And there's a story in Acts chapter 9 about her, but I wonder if, you know, maybe she didn't make this beautiful outer garment for Jesus, and the soldiers are, you know, just gambling for that. I'm not sure on that, but at any rate, how could you do something so terrible? And then maybe you've, in your life, said to yourself, how could I have done something so terrible? And folks, we all do terrible things, because the Bible says all our works of righteousness, all, even our good acts, are like filthy rags to God. That's Isaiah 64. So let's not get proud. Let's not be cynical. Let's not be skeptical. Let's just be believers if we can. So I'm just going to share a prayer. I think the Spence family's got a number they're going to sing for us, right? The kids. So that's pretty awesome. I'm looking forward to this. So, but let's just pray. Lord Jesus, I just want to pray right now with anyone here who might never have said, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and Savior. And I just pray that if there's anyone here like that, from a young child to an old person, whoever it is, Lord, if anyone here has never said, Lord, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins, I acknowledge I am just a filthy, rotten sinner. Lord, I also know that you died to make me as pure as white wool or as pure as white snow. Lord, I just want you to be my Savior. I just pray that people could pray this prayer right now and just legitimately ask Jesus to be their Lord and Savior. And Lord, I just ask that for those of us that have been believers a year, 2 years, a long time, whatever it is, Lord, help us to continue to just get so excited about hanging out with you, spending time in your word. And Lord, the thought of the King of the universe saying, hey, I'm gonna hang out with you. I'm gonna reveal myself to you. Lord, there should be no greater honor than that time we spend in personal devotions, just praying and reading your word. And just pray that you would help us to get grounded in it, really grounded, so that we can share John 1:12. Just as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become children of God. Or we could say John 20:31 and say, but these are written so that you might believe. So help us just to just start digging in the word and getting excited about sharing that with the world around us. And Lord, we confess, we fall asleep in the light. We forget why we're here. We think it's about our country club life and just getting all our fence posts painted and everything just perfect down here. When in reality, Lord, it's just about just doing every day what we can to bring others to you. So help us go back to that original purpose of proclaiming Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
to